I'd like for you to open to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're not going to go through this first chapter in great detail, but enough so that I think it'll be clear. But I wanted to look at this in light of, like I mentioned earlier, a verse that we read some time back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. And that verse reads again, "A new commandment I give unto you," I wrote it down here, "I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing," is how it should read, "and the true light now shines." And this was something that I had thought about and just began to look at some things in the Word regarding this. Something I want to point out before we start. The word light is it's a word that is used many times in the Gospel of John. It's one of his favorite words. It's pretty awesome. And it's also used in 1 John a lot. I think it's 6 times. And light is a word that has different meanings depending on its context. Sometimes it's just literal light. It's a candle, it's a lamp, it's a star or whatever. Sometimes it refers to knowledge, that knowledge or information from God. Again, depending on the context. It is more often used in a figurative sense than literal. Again, like an example would be knowledge, that knowledge that comes from God. The phrase "walking in light" is sometimes used in light of walking in light of information that God's given. Sometimes it's referring to, for instance, in 1 John, love, loving your brothers and sisters. So it's kind of neat to see that. So those are just some examples of how it's used. But here in the Gospel of John, we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to go back sort of to the beginning of this. It's sort of neat. Verse 1, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same, regarding this word, was in the beginning with God. Now again, we're not going to take a great deal of time with this chapter, but the word that is translated word is the word logos. And logos is, it can be a spoken word, a written word, but it's also the counsel or what is behind or the heart of the word spoken. It's a pretty interesting word to study. The word that is being referred to here is the word regarding the promised seed, Jesus Christ. The beginning here is not referring to in the beginning God created. Rather, it is the beginning of this age, which began with the fall of the garden. And it opened with the promise, before the curses were pronounced, before all of these things were pronounced regarding Adam, the word that was given was regarding Jesus Christ. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. You'll crush his heel, but he's going to crush your head." And that is a wonderful example of God declaring the end from the beginning. But it was regarding Jesus Christ. So, verse 3. All things were made by him, the King James reads. It really should be it. Because when you apply gender in English, you run into some problems. The it, or what it's referring to here, is this logos, this word. All things were made by it. And without it was not anything made that was made. In it was life, and the life was the light of men. God bless John. This word made is not the word for create. It's a word that means to generate. And it's in reference to the logos. It's in reference to what we're going to see here in just a moment. What was generated by this logos, which is referring to the promised seed, which is who?
Jesus Christ.
And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or extinguished it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world. I'm sorry, verse 9, that's where I wanted to stop for now. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Now I want you to go down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what?
Grace
and truth regarding Jesus Christ. This word regarding Jesus Christ had finally come to pass. But there's two things that I want to zero in on. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness extinguished it not. And then verse 9, that was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Now I want you to, in light of this, let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse, we're going to start in these records. Luke 1 is one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God. Just to sit down and read. It's just fun. But Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 67. And his father, Zacharias. Now, this is Zacharias, who was the father of John, whom we just read about in the Gospel of John, who was sent to bear witness of that light. Sometime earlier, an angel had appeared. As a matter of fact, it was Gabriel. And had told John that he was going to have a son, that he and Elizabeth were going to have a son. John... Zacharias, he didn't believe it. It wasn't good enough what the angel had said, sent by God. And so the angel said, you're not going to speak until he's born, because these things are coming to pass. And this is the moment where Zacharias, it just sends chills up my spine. He writes out the word John, and boom. His tongue is loosed. He can speak. And this is what he says. Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant of his servant David. This is referring to Jesus Christ, this horn in the house of Israel. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world or the ages or the age began, that we should be saved from our enemies
and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is kind of neat, these couple of verses here, because it's really, it's additional information that you don't read about when it talks in Genesis regarding Abraham and some of the things that were revealed when God spoke to him. It's kind of interesting. Verse 76, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us." This word dayspring is the word for sunrise. Isn't that beautiful? It's the spring of the day, the beginning of the day, the sunrise. So you've got darkness, and here's the sunrise, the beginning here. Okay, and that's what it's making reference to. Isn't that awesome? "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." See? John would bear witness to this, to Jesus Christ. And with these things in mind, I want you to look, turn to chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 25. Oh, this is such an awesome record, too. Luke 2, verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." Isn't that something? So he took this, you know, 8-day-old baby, and God showed him, "This is the Christ." Ha! This is so cool. "Lord," verse 29, "now let thou servant pass and depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Isn't that beautiful? Now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. This is at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He had been in the wilderness, had been tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And we're going to pick it up in verse 13. "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw" what?
"Light."
"Great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Referring to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? The people sat in darkness. They sat in the shadow of death. Now I want you to turn to the Gospel of John,
chapter 3.
The shadow of death
is in reference to that life that was lost by Adam, which we'll see here in a moment. It's stated pretty clearly. But it's just the way it's phrased. They just sat in the shadow of death, and here comes Jesus Christ. Boom! Great light is sprung up. John chapter 3. We're going to pick this up in verse 16. Familiar verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned or not guilty. But he that believes not is condemned, or he's guilty already, because he has not believed. He has decided not to, chose not to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, the condemnation, the judgment, or the justice, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than the light, because their what? Their deeds were evil. You know, light's an interesting thing. It makes clear or makes manifest the works of darkness. But it also shows people the way out. It's kind of cool. But with this in mind, let's go to John 8. Verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk, and it should read, walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of the life. The light of the life. Jesus Christ was the light of the world. We started with the prophecy of Zacharias, sunrise. It's the beginning. Jesus Christ is here, where we're reading. He's here. He's the light of the world. That's something. And what he came to bring was the life. What was that life? It was eternal life. That's right. See, it's that life of the ages, or that life of the ages to come. Eternal life, that's what he came to bring. In John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have what?
Life.
Life. What kind of life?
Eternal
life.
Eternal life.
That's the life he came to bring. That life of the ages. And that life was the light of men. Because all men were guilty. All men were condemned because of Adam. And Jesus Christ brought that light of the life, so that all who believe on him had that eternal life born within. Acts chapter 26. We're almost done. Acts chapter 26. This is some great stuff to consider in the Word of God. Acts 26, we're going to pick it up in verse 12. This is Paul
I believe he's before Agrippa here, if I remember right. And he is rehearsing before Agrippa what occurred to him in a record that we can read back in Acts chapter 9 when he was on the road to Damascus to imprison those who had believed on Jesus Christ, the saints. Verse 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What a great one body verse this is. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks of the goads. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make or to hand pick, to pick, choose you, a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from what?
Darkness
to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by believing that is in me. To turn them from darkness and the power of Satan to light and the power of God.
Power of God.
Isn't that something? To bring life. See, darkness is the absence of that light, of that life. Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, we're not discouraged. This ministry that's...
Four.
I'm sorry. Did I not... yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. The ministry that's being referred to here in verse 1 is the ministry of the Spirit, which is laid out in chapter 3. And you have the illustration of and the comparison of the ministry of the law compared to the Spirit. The law, as incredible, as glorious, as wonderful as it was, when you compared it to what we have now, to the Spirit, it was like death. Isn't that amazing? That is how incredible and tremendous what it is that Jesus Christ came to bring. This life, that eternal life. And that's the ministry he's talking about here in verse 1. We have renounced, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or trickery, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or are perishing. In whom the God of this world or age hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that brings men to the life, or to the light, to lead them out of darkness into light, to lead them out from the power of Satan unto the power of God, God who is light.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed," referring to obedience to God, "not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own deliverance, your salvation, with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God," that's how it reads, "without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse age," the word nation is the word age, "among whom you shine as" what? "As lights in the world." Then it should read in verse 16, "holding the word of life." You shine as lights, holding the word of life. And this holding the word of life, it ain't talking about carrying your Bible around. All right? This is a thing of the heart. This is something I retain in my mind, in my heart, in my walk. And you know, you stop and think about this. We live in the physical realm. We are limited to our senses. There is a spiritual realm. When it says that we shine as lights, holding the word of life, this is a description of who and what we are. What this looks like in the spiritual realm, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm glad I'm on this side of it. See? What we bring to the table when we're retaining the Word of God in our hearts, the words regarding Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our life, what we bring to the table, what we do to a place, the difference we make, I don't understand it all. But you know what God says? You shine as lights. So you know what that means? We shine as lights. I'll take that. See? And we retain that word of life because it's the word regarding Jesus Christ that issues in life. See? Isn't that something? They believe on Jesus Christ, they confess him as Lord, and that's it. Eternal life. It's really beautiful. Romans 13. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Now, we're just going to read a couple verses here, but I want you to remember where we started. It was sunrise. All right? Romans 13, verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law." Let's read this. For example, "thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
"Love works no ill or evil to its neighbor. Therefore, love," because of this, or therefore, "love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is" what? "High time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." See, in this salvation, in this context, it's referring to that deliverance that we're going to have at the return when we're gathered together with our Lord Jesus Christ. The night is what?
Far spent.
It's far spent. The day is at hand. It's upon us. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That those words at hand means it's approaching. It's approaching. We're nearer now. Isn't that beautiful? The night is far spent. See, we're almost there. It's pretty cool.
1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 5. Ye are all the children of what? Of light. And the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Okay? This word for sleep is it's a little different than what's used earlier in 4. It's it has the meaning of, you know, you're in a slumber, as opposed to watching and being sober. Okay? For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of believing, faith, believing, and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we are sons of God now. And that next verse, that whether we wake or sleep, we're born again. Isn't that beautiful? But that's not who we are, to walk as children of darkness. We're children of the day. We have the life in us, which is a deposit of the life that we will have for all eternity with our God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then we're just going to go to 1 John. 2 Timothy chapter, I had to read this. I just had to. Verse 9. Verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Who hath saved us? Referring to God here. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before that word world, I believe, is the word for age. I didn't note it, but I believe that's right. But now, or is now made manifest, clear, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the what? Through the gospel, see? And boy, when we speak that gospel, that's what we give to people. It's the word of life. It's called many things. It's the word of God. It's the word of life. It's the word of light. It's a lot of things. Because it does all those things. See? 1 John. So, in light of what we've just read, it's kind of neat. Let's start in verse 6. Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 2. 1 John 2. Well, you didn't know. 1 John 2. Verse 6. It says, he that abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. In this context here, this word abide, it's associated with walking like Jesus Christ walked. And we'll see what it's talking about is love. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning, is, according to most critical Greek texts, shouldn't be there. Again, or the working translation handles this as, on the other hand. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is what? Passing. And the true light now shineth. And then it goes on to talk about, which we've already considered, loving your brother. That old commandment that they have from the beginning was regarding love, as I have loved you. By this love they will know you are my disciples. They had that from the beginning, but it was a new commandment. Jesus Christ prefaced that with his men as a new commandment I give unto you. See, this was a new kind of love. This was a new kind of love in service, in esteeming others better. See, isn't that beautiful? And we're equipped to do it. We're equipped to do it. This word for passing, this darkness is passing, and the true light is now shining. It's also used in verse 17, which ends this section. And I wanted to read that too. And the world is passing away. Isn't that beautiful? It's disappearing. And the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God, what? Abides forever. This word abide is used in the sense of, or in reference to, that eternal life that we have born within. See? Right now we shine as lights in the world, and the darkness and the world is in the process of passing. See? Something. And we're heading toward that day when that darkness will be completely dealt with. And we'll be free from some of the things we have to deal with. But in the meantime, we shine as what? Right? And in the meantime, we can love our brothers and sisters, can't we? Absolutely. We can speak God's word to one another. We can help one another. We can do all these things as children of the light. See? So, amen? Amen. Amen.